Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Ralph Shearing. He's the president of Telson Resources. And Ralph is an experienced miner, been around this business for many years, and a lot of experience in the exploration and production side of the business. And I should mention before we say hello to Ralph that Telson trades in Toronto under the symbol TSN. You can buy it in the U.S., as I have, under the symbol SOHFF. 104 million shares outstanding, Canadian 35 cents earlier today, at least when I last checked, giving it a market cap of around $37 million in Canadian money, or roughly $30 million in U.S. funds. Should also mention that it's TelsonResources.com, TelsonResources.com. After you hear what Ralph has to say, I think you're going to want to check it out and learn more about this exciting company that's not an exploration company as much as it is a producer. It is actually producing now, as in the development stage in one of its mines. So thanks for joining me, Ralph. Let's hear more about this story of yours.
Well, thank you very much, Jay. We're pushing two mines towards production. Our first project is Tabueto. It's been in the company quite some time. We've actually started mining there. We're producing around 150 to 200 tons a day, and we're shipping that ore about 150 kilometers to a toll mill. It's a particularly high-grade zone that we're mining on with that. So we did the same thing, an industrial scale test earlier this year, and we made some good money on that. So we've decided to go ahead and produce on a continuous basis while we're out raising the money to actually build the processing plant on site. So we've started mining. We actually turned the mill on late last week, and we're processing our product through the mill. We should have our first concentrate shipments being sent out to the commodities purchaser probably early to mid next week. So we'll be starting to generate cash flow off of that pre-production.
All right. How do you see this then, as this production as a means of financing some or part of the or all of the production site? You're going to build a mill on site, I guess, right?
Yeah, correct. Not all of it for sure. I mean, it will supplement the mine built capital that we need to raise, and it's really a way to start generating cash. We don't have to go to the markets and raise a bunch of equity to dilute our shareholders. What we're looking for to raise to build the mine at Tabueto was about $50 million. And we're sort of in advanced discussions with a number of off-takers right now. So we hope to have that secured over the next several weeks to 2 months. Now, you know, these things are always fluid. They're fluid things. They take a while to negotiate and get in place, but we're fairly far along. We expect to be able to get that funding in and start building the mine on site. We have been doing our development on site. We've been actually getting the mine ready for production, producing or driving in haulage level portals. We've got over 200 meters in that, and stockpiled a bunch of ore out of that particular area. But the area we're mining is, as I said, it's a very high grade zone and allows us the luxury of being able to ship it off site to generate cash in the meantime.
Ralph, can you give our listeners a sense of the relative metal values that you have there? I mean, it's a polymetallic deposit of gold, silver, copper, lead, zinc, I believe, at the Tabueto mine. What is the relative value? I mean, is it mostly zinc? Is it mostly gold? What is it?
Well, it's primarily a gold play. It's probably 60 to 70% of the value is in the gold, and then the next highest paying commodity is zinc, followed by lead, copper, and silver. We had a pre-feasibility study prepared earlier this year. It came out quite positive at 350 tons a day underground mining operation, which we intend to start, and we're going to increase it from there. But that PFS came out at about a 36% internal rate of return, post-tax, $77 million at an 8% discount, and for the NPI, our cost of production are about $91 per ton, and that's everything, shipping costs, smelter penalties, et cetera, all built into that. So it should be a very profitable situation for us. We can mine gold at Tabueto based on the pre-feasibility study calculations at about $495 per gold equivalent ounce at 500 tons a day. And our real plan is to start at that, increase it to 1,000 tons per day, which will decrease, you know, the cost quite a bit. Our gold equivalent ounces should come down. We expect probably $70 or so an ounce for production. So it looks really, really good. We've actually done some internal calculations of 1,000 tons per day. We've purchased the mill. The mill sitting outside in Tepewanis, which is the closest supply area to our project. And as soon as we're funded, we'll build the foundations. We'll start moving that mill in to construct the mine. So we've advanced the project a long ways and are able to start producing now, albeit for toll milling off-site.
Mm-hmm. And what is your timetable in terms of having an on-site mill?
As soon as we're funded, we expect it to take no more than 6 months to build, construct, and get it up and operating at the 550 tons a day initial startup production.
And, Ralph, and those costs that you're talking about, are those using the other metals as a as an offset to the gold?
That's the all-in calculations from the pre-feasibility study for the sale of all metals. And,
okay.
You know, with dilutions and everything's built into that pre-feasibility study. It's a fairly detailed look at the economics of the project.
I'm sure it is. Can you recall what was the gold price that was assumed in the project?
It was around $1,000 per ton, I believe. It's pretty close to that. So we have fairly conservative gold prices.
Okay, good. And it seems to me, as I recall looking at this, you've got quite a bit of exploration potential, but the 1,000 tons per day, is that sort of the limits that you're constricted to there, given the logistics?
No, it's not. Actually, just go back. I think I said 1,000 tons is the gold price per ton. It's per ounce. I'm sorry.
Per ounce, exactly.
It's a little slip of my tongue.
Yeah.
But no, the actual exploration potential in Tahlehuetto is vast. It's a very large system. We've only explored a very small amount of it, and we have at least seven other structures that are mineralized we need to follow up on. And even the structures that we've drilled and we have developed our resources and reserves on are open to depth in all directions, north long strike and to depth. So there's a lot of room to increase the tonnages and the grades and the metal content as we move forward. So I would envision the project to grow. We think that it will grow, you know, past the 1,000 tons per day to 2 to maybe even 3,000 tons per day in the future as we develop more resources and more reserves.
All right. Well, that's one project you have. You have a second one, Campo Morado, and in Mexico. Talk to us about that. You just recently, I think you purchased that, and that was a project that went for several hundred million dollars, as I recall, in the past. I mean, it just it dwarfs your current market cap by many fold. What do you plan to do with the Campo Morado, and how soon might we look for some production from that site?
Well, Campo Morado was an exceptionally good opportunity for the company, and our CEO, Antonio Berlanga, was able to negotiate with Nearstar to purchase the company for really a fire sale price. Nearstar was getting rid of all of the mines that they purchased, and we picked Campo Morado up for $20 million, and we've paid $3.5 million. There's a $16.5 million due within a year, so June of next year. So we've been on site. We've cleaned up the mill. We've got crews working through the mill, getting it all ready to start processing again. I believe they've actually started up and run water through it and getting it ready to produce. Underground, we've looked at all of the undergrounds. Everything is basically ready to go there. All the equipment has been fully serviced. You know, when it's sitting around for a few years, you need to go back in and just go over everything, make sure all the bearings are well lubricated, and replace any parts that need to be replaced. So all of that work is more or less finished. It's continuing on. And the plan is within the next couple of weeks to start actually mining underground and getting a large sample from underground and start testing the mill out. So we're hoping to run a fairly large amount of or through the mill and get all the bugs and kinks out of it ready to start producing. And again, we need to raise some capital in order to fund the operation. So operating capital, we're looking at between $5 to $7 million. Once again, we're in advanced discussions with off-takers to supply that, because it's really just a turnkey operation. With all the work we've done and what we're doing, we should be able to start that project up in very short order. So we're hoping to get it producing by October, into October. And if we get, the sooner we get our operating capital in place, the sooner we'll be able to do that.
Do you have a sense of the economics of that project, and are you going to do any sort of formal feasibility study, or are you just going to go forward? I mean, it is a previously operating mine, so you know a lot about its capabilities, I guess.
Correct. I mean, it operated first for Farallon Resources for about a year when NearStar came in and purchased Farallon Resources for about $420 million in a friendly takeover. Then they put a bunch of money in to expand the mill, so they actually brought the mill up to 2,500 tons a day. They've got a fully a copper circuit they recently were building to put in. It's 80% complete. So there's just so much equipment and infrastructure there. It's been a great deal for us. The economics, I mean, it was a tough goal for NearStar. The metal prices were very poor. You know, the industry in 2013-14 was very, very beat up. Zinc prices were quite low. So they had a tough time making any money at it. And Campo Morado's got a few, you know, little challenges. The metallurgy isn't as good as you'd like it to be, but with the elevated prices in zinc and gold, we think we can do quite well with it, and we can actually hopefully get the recoveries up. NearStar really focused on zinc because they're, you know, they wanted to feed their smelter in Europe. They have a Belgian zinc smelting company, so they were really focusing on zinc production. We're looking at mining the areas of the resources, which are considerable, that have higher precious metal content still with good zinc values. So there's 17 million tons of resources at the project. And measured and indicated 9.6 million tons. So it's an exceptionally well-explored and developed project, ready to turn the key on and start mining again. And the exploration potential is very, very good, even in and above what we have so far. And we think we've got a good, you know, 10 to 15 years of mine life with the current resources once we develop them into a reserve. But the exploration potential, many, many other targets that have been identified through gravity surveying, geochemical surveying, you know, the geophysics, and there's a number of those are coincidence. So those are excellent targets to go after, and you know, with a little bit of exploration success, we'll be able to add to the resources that are already outlined.
So NiStar, it sounds to me, didn't really optimize the project in a way because of their desire for zinc over the other metals, and I guess that's one of the advantages that you have, is that you don't have that bias. But let me ask you, Ralph, with just a couple of minutes left here, going back to the to your Tahuatahuato project, what do you think? I mean, you and I have been around this business long enough to know that there's no slam dunks. It's a tough business. Aside from the metals prices, which you have no control over, what, maybe you can address both projects, what do you think could go wrong? Is there any, I mean, maybe you're not seeing anything, or you're obviously very optimistic about things, but just think about what investors should be watching out for risk-wise.
Well, I think, you know, access to capital. Once the investors see that we've pulled in the operating capital at Campo Morado and the mine build capital for Tahuatahuato, then, you know, the game is really on. And we're really close to doing that, in my opinion, with the way the discussions are going. You know, other than that, you've got local potential risk, but our relationship at Tahuatahuato with the local people has been excellent all the time, and we've been in there a long period of time. We'll be employing most of the people. And even on Campo Morado, NearStar did have some difficulties with local, I don't know how you would call it, so local gangs or people in the narco business. You know, we have been in there. We've been talking to all of the people around the area. We have full support of the local people, the government authorities, the army. Everybody is on side to get this project back up and running at Campo Morado because, you know, it's a very good mine to bring employment to the people in the area. So, you know, those are challenges. We believe with our Mexican operating team who've been operating mines in Mexico all their life, they have the capacity and the ability to do this on an ongoing basis. So, you know, they've been a real key to letting Telson move forward very quickly over the past year.
It certainly does look like a very promising story, especially from your current market cap. Ralph, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Anything else, real quickly, anything else that you might want to highlight?
Well, I was just saying, with both projects, we have about 1.2 million ounces of gold in resources, and some of that is in reserves. If you look at just gold equivalent with gold and silver only, we have over 2 million ounces of gold equivalent resources, only looking at gold and silver, and then you have all the base metals on both the projects on top of that. So, you know, our market cap is extremely low for what we have and where we're going, and I would really encourage your listeners to have a good look at us and you know, pick up a bit of stock. I think they'll do very well.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's TelsonResources.com, folks. TelsonResources. Go there, learn more about the company. Thank you, Ralph, so much for being with us.